the darkness. And I'm happy that he's my God. That's who he is. Glory. Yeah, we need to put that one on rotation. Keep that one. Amen. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. Praise is comely for the upright. God dwells in the midst of praises. And we, his people, we ought to give him praise. Amen. Amen. Lord, you formed me out of clay, and for your glory I was made. Use this vessel today, Lord, as you choose. And let my life, let it praise you. Speak to our hearts. Let the power, the control, and the influence of the Holy Ghost be in complete control. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit has to say to the church and hearts to obey. Edify your body by the declaring of your word. Save somebody by the declaring of your word. Fill somebody with the Holy Ghost by the declaring and the receiving of your word. We thank you for it. We ask it. And we receive it now in Jesus' name. Amen. I solicit your prayer this morning because I have something that's on my heart and on my mind as I was looking and preparing. God deals with me in certain ways. A lot of you all know sometimes it's not the usual way, but God is not a usual God. Amen? Amen. There's a lot of voices that are in our world today. There's a lot of things that are going on in the universe, and in particular in this country. And there's different camps. I'll say that. There are different camps and different modes of thought and different things that are being piped out over the airways, over out in the atmosphere. Now we understand that the Bible identifies our enemy, Satan, the devil, as the prince, the power of the air. So he has some authority in that realm. And as we move toward a somewhat historical event later on this week, if we live and the Lord will, there's a lot of things that are going on. So the Lord put this thought on my mind. I believe it was the Lord, and we'll just have to see, huh? Amen. But I want to talk from a thought of make God great again. Make God great again. Make God great again. I have to read some declarations out of the Word of God. In Psalms 48 and 1, it says, "Great is the Lord, and highly to be praised in the city of our God, his holy mountain." Psalm 95 and 3 says, "For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods." Psalm 96 and 4 says, "For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be reverently feared and worshiped above all so-called gods." Psalm 99 and 2 says, "The Lord is great in Zion, and he is high above all the peoples." Psalm 135 and 5 says, "For I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. Psalms 138:5 says, yes, they shall sing of the ways of the Lord and joyfully celebrate his mighty acts. For great is the glory of the Lord. And Psalm 145:3 says, great is the Lord and highly to be praised. His greatness is so vast and deep as to be unsearchable. So I just came to encourage us to make God great again. Amen. Amen. We serve a great God. We serve a mighty God. We serve the only true and living God. And all those little g so-called gods are not gods at all. But we have to make God great. And I believe one of the ways that we make God great is he has to maintain his greatness in our personal relationship with him and in our lives. God must be great. God must be held in high esteem. Our God must be worshiped. Our God must be praised. Our God must be loved. Our God must be adored. Our God must be obeyed. Our God must be cherished. Our God must be appreciated. Our God must be served. Our God must be talked about. Our God must be seen in our lives. If anybody on the planet needs and has the power, the authority, and the blessed privilege to make God great again, it is us. It is us. This is what all mankind needs. They need to get to know this great God. And if they are to get to know this great God, who else to introduce them to this great God than God's people? So we must make God great again. Now, I want you to understand that I am not being political. I am being practical. All right? You need to understand that. There are some things that we can partner with God, and God's will be completed in the earth. Where are you getting this from? Walk with me to 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. How many feel that our land is in turmoil? Anybody feel that our land is in turmoil? Anybody feel and believe that our land is divisive? There is confusion all throughout our land. And we're living when people really don't know what's going to happen. It seems like people are paranoid, and then you got one camp that's all up in the arms and another camp that's all up in arms. And here we are with the very power of the living God on the inside. Here we are with the Prince of Peace on the inside. And I believe it's our responsibility, if there ever was a time for the Church of the Living God to stand up and to move out on purpose and do the work and the will of God, it's right now. It is right now. So in 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, very familiar passage of scripture, verse number 14, the Amplified Version says, if my people, I wonder how many people will categorize themselves as the people of God just in this place this morning. But he says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves. That's how you make God great in your life individually. We got to humble ourselves. So if my people who were called by my name shall humble themselves, pray. If there ever was a time to pray, it's surely time to pray. And it's been praying time for a long time. But if my people who were called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face. So we got to go hard after God. You hear what I said? We got to go hard after God. We have to follow hard after God. We have to come down from our high esteem of ourselves. If we have an unhealthy high esteem of ourselves and our own opinion, God through his word is telling us that we need to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. Humble themselves, he says. Pray. We need to call out to God. We need to talk to God. We need to cry out to God, and we need to listen so God can talk back to us. Prayer is not a one-way street. It's a two-way street. We talk. We listen. God talks. And then it's up to us to obey. You don't have to have fancy words to pray. You talk to God just like you talk to somebody else. But know that it's God. Just be real with God. He sees our heart. He sees everything that we're going through. You ain't got to have no fancy 12-letter words to talk to God. Just humble yourself and say, God, I need help. I remember the Bible records when Peter was walking on the water after Jesus had bid him to come unto him on the water. He started walking on the water, and then when he took his eye off Jesus, he began to sink. And at that particular time, he didn't go with thou and thee and oh most holy. He said, Lord, save me. That's what he did. And maybe your life might be in a situation where you got waves coming at you hither and thither, and you don't know in the world you're going to do. Just say, Lord, save me. God understands all that's entangled in that Lord, save me. So you don't have to have no fancy words to pray. You just talk to God from your heart. God understands you because he made you. The only thing that we have to do is what he says in his word. Humble themselves, pray, seek, crave. That means you gotta be hungry for God. You gotta be thirsty for God. That's how you make God great. And you gotta have a hunger. You gotta have a drive in your heart for God that nothing else will satisfy me except God. I want God and nothing else. I want God and nothing counterfeit. I want God and no substitute. I want God. Humble ourselves and pray. Seek. Crave, require of necessity my face. We need to understand we need the face of God. We need the face of God because when we are in his presence, that's when we can behold his face. Then after we do all that, there's some responsibility that goes along with it. Now, again, God's talking to his people. Then he said, turn from their wicked ways. So I come to declare that God's people have some wicked ways. Is it in the Bible? All right. Is it in your Bible? All right. He said, turn from their wicked ways. Right? So there's some turning that has to take place in my life personally. There's some turning that must take place in your life personally. Then you get to the then. You can't get to the then until you turn. See, a lot of us want to get to the then, and we don't have a mind to turn. But God said, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. And our land needs healing. But it won't get healed until we do what God has told us to do. Then just let me say this. It matters not who gets into the White House. All right? It don't matter. If we do what God told us to do, it really don't matter. But the question is, will we do what God has told us to do? Sometimes, if we're not active in the things that God has told us to do, we can, to a certain extent, delay or add to some of the sufferings that we as a people experience. When I'm saying we as a people, I'm talking about the people of God. All right? Again, I'm not political, but I'm just being practical. All right? We have something to do. He said, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. So we need to pray, y'all. We need to pray. 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 In fact, we're going to be praying Tuesday night. But I'm going to tell you what we're going to be praying for a little later. We need to pray. And also, we have a responsibility to vote. Uh-oh, where is he going with this? We have a responsibility. I cannot and I will not tell you who to vote for. But what I will tell you is we need to pray and we need to vote. We need to pray and we need to vote. You'll see where I'm going. This might not be a jump and shout, but this will help you out. The book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. See, we have a responsibility. We're the light. We're light and salt. That's what God has called us to do. We have the blessed privilege and the authority to speak truth to power or perceived power. Because I hear the Bible says the powers that be are ordained of God. So what are we going to do with that? We cannot stick our head in the sand. We cannot be passive and say it doesn't matter. It does matter. It does matter. You'll see. I'm gonna make sure I stay in biblical. All right. That's okay. I don't want nobody to get it twisted and say, well, I'm not. I want you to hear clearly what I'm saying. We have a responsibility. Amen. There, let me have that mic just in case. Amen. Something tries to go wrong. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, verse 13. He says, all has been heard. The end of the matter is fear God. You see that? Revere and worship him. Knowing that he is, that's our responsibility. That's another way to make God great. Huh? Fear him. What happened to the reverence for God? What happened to the reverence for God? Let's make God great again. Huh? What happened to the reverence? What happened to the honor for God? What happened to the commitment for God? What happened to that? Has it diminished? For some, no. For some, yes. That's the truth of the matter. But I'm so thankful for the grace of God, for those who, in their own estimation, or maybe because of the circumstances and situations that we're faced with, we figuratively diminish the greatness of God. And we maybe see our problems or our obstacles or the situation as insurmountable and we can't deal with it, but it's not greater than God. I want to let you know that whatever you're facing is not greater than God. The situation that you're in right now, God has an answer to that situation. He has a solution to that situation if we will heed him, if we will cry out to him, if we will acknowledge him, and then once he tells us what to do, we must obey him. All has been heard. The end of the matter is fear God, revere and worship him, knowing that he is, and keep his commandments. For this is the whole of man, the full, the original purpose of his creation. So you want to know why you were created? This is the original purpose that we were created, to fear God and to keep his commandments, the object of God's providence and the root of character, the foundation of all happiness. You want to be really happy? Fear God. Reverence God, worship God, make God great again. What's the real great thing in your life? Think about it. What are you hyped about the most? What gets you going? What get your, if you will, juices flowing? Is it God or is it something else? What's the most dominant thing in our lives? What do we eat, drink, and sleep? Is it God or is it something else? What should it be? Okay, a few brave souls have vocalized an answer. But what is it, really? If it were nobody in the room but you and God, and you had a come to God meeting, and actually you're having one right now. I'm just the messenger. What's the greatest thing in your life? What's the thing that you esteem most? Whose opinion do you value most? Well, we know the right answer in this setting. But when we leave and we live out our lives, what does our life tell us about who's great in our life? I want to make God great again. Now, I'm using this in quotations because he's always been great. And he will never cease to be great. But as an individual, I think this is important for us to make God great again. We got to give him the place that he deserves. King of kings. Lord of lords. Who reigns on our heart? Who sits on the throne of our heart? Or is it open to election? Or is it open to selection? God sits on the throne. He is enthroned in the praises of his people. So we should sit on the throne of our hearts. It's time to make God great again. It's the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances. Oh, so you know what he's saying here? If this, anybody going through something that looks like disharmony, things just not working out. I can't put my finger on it, I don't know how to explain it. It's inharmony. Something is not right. Anybody ever feel like that? Or maybe perhaps you feel like that now. But the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun. So basically, what the writer is saying here, once we get a proper reverence and fear for God, all that is going to come into adjustment. It's going to come into alignment. We got to make God great again. And not only is it that, it is the whole duty for every man. You see that? All right, so I'll say again, we cannot be struck with apathy. We can't be struck with apathy. We must go vote. You got to vote. You got to vote. You got to vote. Walk with me to Jeremiah 33. Again, pray and vote. Pray and vote. Jeremiah 33. There are certain things. You know, when you remember the early church in the book of Acts, the scripture talks about, and the Lord working with them, added many souls to the church, the Lord working with them. It didn't say the Lord working for them. It said the Lord working with them. So there's some things that God wants to work with us. He wants to work with us, but who's going to work with God? And one of the ways I believe that we work with God is by exercising our right and privilege to exercise a vote. Ain't nobody gonna say nothing. I'm not telling you, I cannot tell you who to vote for. All right? Well, this is not a message that we need to hear at church. Yes, it is. Who said it's not? And then we complain. And then we want to pray after the fact. Lord help. God said, I'll help you now. I'll help you now. Jeremiah 33 and 3. He says, call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. God said, you just got to talk to me. He says, fenced in and hidden. God said, I'll show you some stuff if you make me great. I'll show you some stuff if you pray to me, if you call to me. He says, which you do not know, do not distinguish and recognize, have knowledge of and understand. God said, all you got to do is talk to me. I'm willing to show you some stuff. I'm willing to show you some stuff. But who's going to take the time to sincerely pray? Sincerely pray. Thy will be done, right? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But how many believe that God has placed some things in his word that will allow us to aid in the process of his will being done? You have not because you ask not. What that mean? We ain't got it because we ain't asking. Now let's get the context. You ask amiss that you may consume it on your own lust. So don't ask like that. So that means we have to understand what the will of God is. And then when we understand what the will of God is, we can pray according to his will and his purpose. All right? Walk with me to Romans chapter number 13. I'm trying to put this together. We need to make God great. And the way that we make God great is by doing his will. Doing his will. As you turn into Romans, chapter number, did I tell you chapter yet? 13? All right, Romans chapter 13. As you're turning there, my mind goes to the scripture where people were trying to trip Jesus up. You know, many times they were trying to trip Jesus up. But they were trying to trip him up as it related to paying taxes. Y'all remember that? And they said, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? And we know the answer that Jesus said, but there's a principle that goes with the answer. He said, bring me the coin. Whose inscription? Who is that? Whose picture is that, basically, on the coin? That's Caesar's. So Jesus said, all right, well then render to Caesar what's Caesar's. And render to God what's God's. So he wasn't telling them to avoid paying taxes, right? He said, give to the government what's due to the government, but give to God what's due to God. Amen. Let's unpack that. Jesus was teaching them how to be good citizens. Can we go there? We're already there. He was teaching them how to be good citizens. So a good citizen does not stay home on election day. Render to Caesar what Caesar's, but unto God what's God's. Again, I'm not being political. I'm being, thank you, practical. And I'm being biblical. What's most important? Jesus said, render to Caesar what's Caesar's, but unto God what's God's. We have history, biblical history, of God's people being great citizens. But when it came down to obeying the king or obeying God, then there was a difference. Call up the three Hebrew boys and Daniel. Be a good citizen, but don't forget to render unto God what is God's. As long as it's not in violation to the word of God, be a good citizen. Real quiet. I hope we're thinking, and I hope we're praying. I hope we have an open heart and an open mind. Romans 13, chapter number 1. All right? You all probably knew I was going there by now, huh? Verse 1. Romans 13, verse 1. It says, let every person be loyally subject to the governing civil authorities. Y'all see that? Every person. For there is no authority except from God, by his permission, his sanction. And those that exist do so by God's appointment. So this gives me foundation to declare it doesn't matter what the outcome is on Wednesday. Am I in the right place or what? Huh? It don't matter. We have to answer to a higher authority. We should have been answering to that higher authority all along. But it's time for us to wake up and take our rightful place as light and salt, as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. So he says in verse 2, therefore he who resists and sets himself up against the authorities resists what God has appointed and arranged in divine order. God already knows what the outcome is. He already knows. He already knows. Now, some might lean back on that fact and move into apathy. Well, since you already know that, no. You got to be a good citizen. You got to be, he already knows. That's right, he already knows. And he already knows what he told you to do. Pray and go vote. Pray and go vote. If you do not vote, don't open up your mouth about the outcome. If you don't pray, please don't open up your mouth about the outcome. And just let me say this. Regardless, and I'll take my hits, I'll take my lumps, I don't care. Regardless of what happens, even on local voting, we have a responsibility to hold people accountable. But we let that go. We let it go. The kingdom of God, it suffers violence. The violent take it by force. There's some things that we can forcefully advance, but we can't be apathetic. We have to pray, hear from God. We have to speak out against certain things that are against the word and the will of God. If we don't speak out for it, who's going to speak out for it? And really, 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 what can they do to us anyway? Ultimately, our life is hid. We're in Christ. Now, they might do something to this body, but they can't do that to our soul. Given this great opportunity, this great responsibility to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into this marvelous light, we should be some trophy pieces for God in every area of society that God allows us to walk in. Not arrogantly, not braggadociously, but humbly living a lifestyle that will make God great again. Certainly, we need to make him great. We need to make God great in our homes. Huh? We need to make, yes, in our homes. We need to make God great again in our homes. We need to make him great in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our counties, in our cities. But it has to start somewhere. Amen? All right. I'll move. Walk with me to 1 Timothy. See, I got to stay with Bible, because somebody will run off and say, he done. But I think I'm rightly dividing this. I'm doing my best with the help of the Lord. Can I just say there should not be any taboo issues in the house of God? Because when we leave here, we're dealing with them. Come on, y'all. Jesus sat and taught. It ain't about a jump and a shout. It's about getting an understanding, right? It's about getting wisdom and knowledge from God. I believe God gave me this message. So, he'll judge me. He'll correct me if I need correcting. Don't you do it. I'm just playing. I don't want my emails flooded. My Facebook page to crash. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse number 1. Now Timothy is a mentee of Paul. Paul is his mentor, a young minister. Here's what he tells Timothy. First of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all men. Paul saying pray. You see that? He said pray. For kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility. That's why I said pray and then go vote. This is the word of the Lord. We don't live in a civil society where we have kings, but we have presidents, congresspeople, governors, mayors, council people. So is this in line with what the Word of God is saying? All right. So it's our civic responsibility to pray. It's our godly responsibility to pray. And then walk in agreement with the prayer. First of all, then, I admonish and urge that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be offered on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. That's what we're going to be praying for on Tuesday night. I told you I was going to tell y'all. Huh? We ain't praying for whoever to get in. We're praying for this. That's what we're going to pray for. Because, again, God already knows who's going to fill that seat. But it's our responsibility to pray for this. Is that the word? Let's look at verse 2 again. For kings and all who are in positions of authority or high responsibility, that outwardly we may pass a quiet and undisturbed life, and inwardly a peaceable one, in all godliness and reverence and seriousness in every way. Verse 3 says, for such praying is good and right. What did he tell us to pray for them for? Because it's good and right. That's what the word, is that in your Bible? Well, can somebody say amen? All right, I don't usually ask for amen, but I need one right now. Okay, it's right. Amen means it is so. If it's in your Bible, now if it's not in your Bible, you need to get another Bible. Verse 3 says, for such praying is good and right, and it is pleasing and acceptable to God our Savior. What are we going to do with that? Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and we're going to thank you. I can't tell you nothing else besides that. And here's as he continues, verse 4, who wishes all men to be saved, right? And increasingly to perceive and recognize and discern and know precisely, correctly, the divine truth. That's why we got to pray. God ain't willing that nobody should perish, but all come to repentance. So we have a responsibility as the church of God. We have a responsibility as the people of God to do this. It's our responsibility. If it doesn't get done, whose fault is it? Thank you. For there is only one God and only one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. A fact that was attested to at the right and proper time. Jesus went to the cross for everybody. I don't care what camp you in. I don't care what persuasion you are. I don't care what side of the country or the world that you reside in temporarily. When Jesus went to the cross, he had every human in mind. He went to that cross. He allowed himself to go through that humiliation and torture so that you might choose to receive the precious gift of salvation. He gave you an opportunity to choose life. He gave you an opportunity to walk away from the clutches of the devil. He gave you an opportunity to receive eternal life. He gave you an opportunity to live with him eternally when he comes back. He gave us a blessed opportunity. The Bible lets us know that he's our redeemer. We were not redeemed with the blood of bulls and goats, but with the precious blood, the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we got to live according to this word, because God has already invested too much into our salvation, and we are saved to be saved. We are saved, and we're yet in the process of being saved. And while we're in the process of being saved, God wants a representative here in the earth. God wants a people who are called by his name. God wants us again to humble ourselves, because, listen, we definitely don't want a rock to cry out and declare the goodness of God in our place. So we have to declare the goodness of God in the way that we live, in the way that we treat one another, in the way that we interact with one another, in the way that we love one another. The Bible says in one place, let love be without dissimulation. So I can't have one kind of love for this side and another kind of love for that side and another kind of love for this side and another kind of love for that side. That ain't love. Listen, the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And if and since we have received that very love of God, love covers a multitude of sin. Love wants the best and hopes the best in all types of situations. So yes, I have a decision to make. Yes, you have a decision to make. But I'm so thankful that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And since God so loved, guess what? We who have God on the inside, we can so love. And we can love the things that God loves, and we can hate the one thing that God hates. And the thing that God hates, the thing that God detests, is sin. So we can love sinners, but we can hate the sin that they're caught up in. That's what Jesus did for us. He went to the cross. The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he made a decision. He made a decision, I'm going to the cross for a bunch of people who don't like me. In fact, they hate me. We were enemies of God. That's what the Bible said. So if we were enemies of God, while we were yet enemies of God, Christ loved us. God commended his love toward us. Much more now, being reconciled, Scripture says we shall be saved by him. So if anybody should know how to love somebody that they disagree with, see, some people were saying that Wednesday is when the trouble going to really start, because the camps are going to be doing this and the other camps are going to be doing that. But it should not deter us from our focus. We can't get caught up with this side or that side. We got to stand on the right side, and the only right side is God's side. But God wants us to do something. So pray. Pray, 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 and go vote. 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm almost through. Y'all ready to go? Some of y'all ready to go. Some of y'all been ready to go for a while. Come on, come on. Come on, let's just be that. I'm not gonna get mad. That's just how we are. Because I ain't come to hear this. I didn't come to hear this. I come to make me, you supposed to make me feel good. You supposed to, you know, and holler and sweat and woo. But what did he say? What did you take away? What can I use throughout the week? What will help me? If my people. Well, does anybody agree? Well, no, hold on, let me finish. Don't jump in there too soon. Does anybody agree that we need to make God great again? All right. Okay, all right. Be careful now, because you know I'll throw something in there. Don't agree too quick. Hear me out. Scripture said, with all you're getting, get an understanding. Yeah, that's in the book. All right, but God needs to be great again. The renown and fame and glory and majesty and honor of God needs to be lifted up. This is really what the world needs. And if we don't do it, it will not get done. So let's make God great again. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. More than just mere words. When you magnify something, what do? Make it bigger. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Let us blow up God. Let's pump God up. Let's give God his props. Huh? Let's extol him. Let's brag on him. Let's go deeper. Let our lives do it. Let the way we live do it. Because you can teach an African gray. You can teach a double yellowhead Amazon. You can teach them to say hallelujah. All right, I'm going there. Yes, you can. Turn on the radio or the TV and leave that bird in there for 3 or 4 hours. When you come back, that bird will be saying everything that it heard. That's right. Because that's the way God made them. Some African grays can talk. They can talk. So if you have a Bible app and you turn that Bible app on and you have it in it for 8 hours, that bird will be telling you scripture. Y'all laughing, but it's true. So just because you can quote scripture don't mean you're living. That ain't how you make God great again. Because you can quote the Bible from Genesis to Revelations, backwards, forwards, diagonally, it don't matter. But how you live, that's how you make God great again. How you live. Are you willing to humble yourself? Are you willing to pray? Are you willing to seek God's face? And please don't leave out the most important one. Are you willing to turn from your wicked ways? How dare you? I'm saved. I ain't got no wicked ways. He said, if my people. He didn't say, if them people. He said, if my people who are called by my name. See, look at, wait a minute. Watch this. Look at, we can see the grace of God. God ain't disowning us as his people. He ain't taking his name from us. But he's still saying, now, you know you got some wicked ways. He said, come on, you're my people. Huh? You're called by my name. You've been baptized in my name. New Testament. Huh? Just humble yourself. That's all. Seek my face. I'm here. Come on, talk to me. That's all God's saying. Talk to me. Come on. Can we talk? Turn from your wicked ways. Just turn. I'm through. Just say, I'm through. It's no big production. Just turn. I'm going to show you how easy it is to turn. You see where I'm going? I'm going to make up my mind to turn in a minute. Boom. It was that easy. Ain't complicated. I didn't have to get out a slide rule or anything like that. I didn't have to get a concordance, a thesaurus, a Vines expository, an exhaustive. I just turned. Let me show you again how easy it is to turn. I'm moving in this direction. I make up my mind. I need to turn. Okay, boom. Here I am in another direction. Ain't complicated, and it doesn't take a long time. It just takes a made-up mind. I'm going to make God great again. Huh? I'm going to make God, anybody else going to make God great again? So the next time I'm in any environment, and I hear these words, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. That's all listen, I might not even need you to say the whole verse, because if I am consistently moving in the direction in my personal life to make God great again, when I hear a praise, when I hear anything that sounds like a praise, I'm going to get on my feet. Huh? All you got to do is say, oh, magnify. I'm going to say, oh, I'm going to get up. Huh? Because God, wait a minute, it says in your Bible, if you brought one, it says that God is great, and he's greatly to be praised. So now, if I start my personal journey, my own self, looking at my own life, right, if I turn from my wicked ways, if I humble myself, then I'm going to be on the road to make God great again in my life. So if I hear my brother or my sister say, I'll say, bless the Lord at all times. I ain't got to wait. I don't have to wait because I've been making God great again. Huh?
Huh? Because wait a minute, it says in your Bible that where two or three are gathered in his name, he's in the midst. So if I hear somebody just whisper, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I'll start a praise. I'll start a praise riot by myself. That's how you make God great again. I hear somebody say, when I think of the goodness, then somebody will say, oh, of Jesus. And I just look back for a moment, look back for about 32 years of all since I've been saved, all he has done for me. I don't need no parrot. I don't need no African gray. My soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Then I hear somebody come with another scripture. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how you make God great again. Live the gospel. Eat the gospel. Drink the gospel. Sleep the gospel. Be the gospel. Be the message. That's how you make God great. Our life is a sermon. You don't need a title to be a sermon. You got your title. He said, you're my people. My name is Marcus Jackson, and I approve this message. Make God great again. Make him great. It's not about us. It's about God. Make God great. Make God great. Make God great. Again. Make him great. Keep him in his proper space and in his proper place. So pray, 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 and vote. Anybody want to be saved? Anybody want to be baptized in Jesus' name?